Many have asked for the Zion's prayers of intercession. Heavenly Father, we turn unto thee, trusting that in your mercy you hear our prayers. The believing couple is thankful that they have found the kingdom of God and the gift of faith. They pray that their children may experience the same joy. A service guest thanks for the grace of repentance and asks for God's shielding in the journey of faith and prays that their close ones can repent. A father thanks for the gift of faith and asks for the strength for himself and his children to remain believing and for his wife to repent. Service guests thank God for support in the midst of difficulties and that they have been able to make it to summer services. A sister thanks that after difficult trials, God has blessed her with a new job, given a good friend, and helped financially. Several guests ask for themselves and their close ones strength to believe, grace for people who have lost their faith and who are not yet partakers of this faith. A believing family asks for support for their young who is a victim of school bullying and for their friend who has received the grace of repentance, strength to remain believing even though his close ones resist it. Several service guests ask for prayers of intercession for their difficult illnesses along with mental health and substance abuse. A service guest asked for prayers of intercession for his health difficulties. The right ear has gone deaf and he has cancer. A service guest asked for prayers of intercession to survive with mental health and substance abuse difficulties and hopes for peace in the heart for matters relating to sexuality. A service guest hopes for prayers of intercession for his illness and loneliness. A believing mother asks for prayers of intercession for his son who suffers from mental health problems, that her son would receive the right aid for his problems and would find satisfaction in life. The mother also asks both sons and unbelieving close ones would receive the grace of repentance and that her believing close ones would remain believing and would have strength to attend services. Believing mother asks for strength to accept the sexual orientation for her child and for the relief for illness of her grandchild and for his family to trust in the will of God. Children of God in North America ask that God would guide the matters in America and Zion. They pray that God's holy gracious will would brighten a mutual love, unity, and reconciliation would prevail in the Zion. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your goodness and mercy. You know our pains, our distress, and all which is in us. Help us to seek refuge in your aid and bestow us in the safety of your love. This we pray in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. In front of me, I could see a large group of youth and young adults, elderly. Many of you have come to hear strengthening words of faith. From my personal experience, I know that many parents who are putting their children to bed are attempting to catch bits of this presentation through the radio. The parents hope and prayer that it is that even through this presentation, God would strengthen the faith of their own child or youth. May God be present with us in this moment. May he give us strength to endeavor, and may he bestow joy and trust within us. The topic of this presentation is faith in the heart. My children often had the habit to start a discussion in sauna. Dad, what did you do in your childhood? Many childhood memories were shared. Blunders, coincidences. The children then grew, and the same question became more infrequent. Occasionally, though, this time, the question was, "Dad, what did you do in your youth?" Answering this question felt more difficult. Many different incidences had occurred. Good things, but also a lot of things that hurt myself or close ones, my family, the people I loved. The cracks appearing in the glossy photos of my childhood made them more difficult to show. When we are older, it can be tempting to reveal only the perfect glossy photos, or perhaps even the ones with worn edges. If we do this, the measure of faith may also be so high that achieving it may seem impossible. The reality is nonetheless rough. No one has finished our endeavor with dry feet. And yet everyone can believe, even one in weak faith. When one easily sets the measure of faith high, God, in his own part, works differently. Jesus set himself to travel alongside the sinful, weak, and other despised people. Showed unto the unworthy, "You are worthy. You are enough. And you can believe as you find yourself. Believe all your sins forgiven." In the Song of Zion, 296, "How boundless, Lord, is your measure of grace, the Creator of heaven and earth. The slaves of sin you redeem with your grace. Free souls from bondage." I encourage you to partake in discussions, and that even difficult questions could be pondered together in families and in the midst of Zion. I also encourage that everyone would act in a way that each one can feel that they have been heard. What is faith? What do we speak of when we speak of faith? The Bible describes faith in the book of Hebrews, 11th chapter, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We often wish that we would have justifications and facts. This portion from the letter of Hebrews actually gives us a relieving feeling. Faith is really trusting in things hoped for and focused onto things not seen. And so, faith differs from reason and from rational thinking. What are the things we wish for? What are the things unseen, which we can steadfastly trust? It is summarized in the Creed. The Creed is a succinct summary of how we believe. It is based on the Bible. In it, we, for example, confess that we believe in God, the Creator of heaven and earth. We also confess that we believe that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, of his suffering and death, and of his resurrection from the dead. We confess to the believing in the Holy Spirit, the communion of saints, and the resurrection of the body. We also confess to believing in life everlasting in the heavenly home. All of these matters are quite overwhelming and may feel a little over the head from a practical perspective. Therefore, it is not uncommon that we sometimes think, are we truly believing? We begin to doubt the goal of our faith as well as the presence of our own faith. And because of this, Jesus set a child as the example of faith. A childlike is the kingdom of God, as we have heard in these summer services. A child believes simply that mother and father, and also the Heavenly Father, takes care of us and knows best. May this same childlike trust in God's promises and His caretaking remain in us throughout our lives. Faith is not something we can build, assemble ourselves. Faith in the heart is a gift. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul writes, "For by grace are ye received through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Ephesians 2:8-9. Is faith in the heart an irreplaceable, valuable gift for you, which you want to take care of? Or do you perhaps feel that the importance of the gift of faith has faded in your innermost self? And or have you perhaps abandoned it as unnecessary? If so, you can yet again, through the gospel, receive and own this gift in your heart. You can believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. You can joyfully begin to make journey in God's kingdom. Faith is a personal matter. One cannot believe or deny faith on behalf of someone else. We would like to simplify many matters. We would like to, for example, know if one is a believer or not. You may have been even asked at some point if you know if he or she is a believer. We know, however, that only God sees in our hearts, and only he knows the condition of the flame of faith. God is also patient. Often more patient than we are. The parable of Jesus, often of the barren vine, speaks of this God's patience. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, "Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it on the ground?" And he answering said unto him, "Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." Luke 13:6-9. The most important thing is to keep watch in our personal faith. We are also called to approach everyone with love, to help each other to remain in God's flock. If someone drifts from the flock, may God give us the courage and the ability to call them back to believe and rejoice of the grace. But while faith is personal, it is also deeply shared in the fellowship of other children of God. In the Gospel of John, Jesus speaks of himself as the vine tree of which we are the branches. He also exhorts us, "Abide in me and I in you." John 15:1-4. To retain our faith, our gift of faith, we need to keep our connection to Christ and his congregation. Faith in the heart needs a living connection to other believers. We have been able to be amazed in the past years how God works through various media outlets and in many new ways. The heart longs for nutrition. Therefore, it is important to hear God's word and to personally believe the gospel. We can rejoice that we are able to now gather together in real services to meet face to face, share matters, and hear the gospel. Sometimes faith is experienced as a social matter. Faith in the heart does not require friends, social life, or life contacts. Equally true is to live in faith alone. For example, in confirmation school or during the Opista year, you may not find a group you feel fit in. Perhaps you are listening to this devotion, feeling lonely, under great doubts. Alongside you, Jesus wants to pause. He wants to comfort and encourage you. You are a sovereign dweller in God's kingdom, and you can even, in this moment, believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood and experience the connection of Holy Spirit to other believers. We will next sing song 193, With Young Eyes on the Way of Faith. What does faith give us? Why do we believe? In Sunday school, little children often answer to this question simply, so that we would make it to heaven. This is the goal of our faith. However, faith in the heart is also a blessing in many other ways. Under threats, we may experience great security and trust in God's care. We are not alone in any matter. The condition of the earth, diseases, war, and peace are all in God's hands. It is humane that in front of these great matters, we feel fearful and weak and even hopelessness. But when we have faith in our hearts, we can experience that the phases of our lives and the world are fortunately not in our own hands. We can even trust that God will give us wisdom and strength to act for the good of other people and the whole earth, to make choices according to God's will. Faith guides us to act selflessly. Even in the choices we make in our own lives, we carry with us the guidelines of faith. By listening to the voice of our conscience, we can trust in God's care in the crossroads of life. This holds true even for letdowns and trials of life, when, for example, hope of courtship or marriage doesn't come true, or when hope of a certain profession is eliminated, or when we have difficulties with our health. Faith also brings joy to our lives. Even in the Bible, it reads that, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." We should, with more courage, tell of our treasure and call everyone to God's kingdom, the kingdom of peace and joy. It has felt good when believing youth have invited their school friends and they have come to Bible class, fundraisers and youth evenings. I have sometimes wondered why we are so drawn to hide the gift of faith, thinking that showing it is somehow shameful. When faith is the fountain of joy for us, then why would we not invite those who do not yet own that gift? May the Heavenly Father give us joy, give us courage, the same way Philip with joy invited people to experience that same peace which we have been able to experience. Philip was a man who Jesus called his follower. When Philip then met Nathanael, he told Nathanael what he had found. Nathanael hesitated. "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Some time ago, our daughter showed us a TikTok of their video of their weekend happenings. A normal weekend with believing friends. The video received lots of comments. For example, "Looks really wonderful," or "Beautifully hopeful mood in this video," or "This looks so safe and wonderful." It is God's guidance that through even these mediums, the joy of peace of our youth can be shared. This can also work as an invitation to God's kingdom. Faith gives life a sense of peace and calm that we long for in these times. When I was young, I was attracted to the world outside of God's kingdom with all its temptations. I lost the gift of faith, and with it, I lost peace. I tried to escape the restlessness of the mind by resorting to either worldly music or intoxicative substances. I had a feeling that I couldn't stop. I'm not saying this happens to everyone, but for me, it was a reality. Life was going fast and was filled with dangerous situations. At that time, moments of pause were caused by caring of older, more experienced people. My mother sat with her prodigal son at the front steps of our home during whatever time of the day and offered the gospel many times. I still have a letter I received from my grandfather where he writes that they had wished together with grandma that I would come to his birthday celebration. It was difficult to meet other believers. He wrote in the letter, "Do you have matters in your life that are a burden? You may think that all opportunities are lost and that continuing the life of a believer is no longer possible. This is the sermon of the devil. The truth is that even if we fall, there is no matter that cannot be overcome. You are not alone in your difficulties. The situation is not hopeless. The Heavenly Father has great love for you." Grandpa's letter, which I have kept, was touching and made me pause. You are not alone. And the same message I want to convey to you. You are not alone. God is with us. We will now sing Song of Zion 201, "The road of youth is open in front of me." What types of snares does the enemy of the soul set for us? the Navy of Souls, or as Grandpa put it, Soul Destroyer's goal is to rip us away from God and from the fellowship of His kingdom. The trend of current times is that we are encouraged to think and act in a way that feels good, to be with people who are the best match for us. The consequences of this are small social circles where we live a reality that pleases us. It is enjoyable to discuss what questions and choices are on our mind inside the bubble, knowing that we will receive an answer that pleases us. This is actually the point where we are at the beginning phases of falling into sin, at the root of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, where the serpent asks, "Did God really say that? It tries to lure us to reach and grab the fruit of the tree, tempting us that eating this of this fruit will make you divine, possibly even in this way, that you do not need God anymore. As a result of man's fall into sin, peace, joy, and freedom were lost. They had to hide in paradise. God did not, however, forsake them, but longed to be together again, calling, "Where art thou, man?" In the current times we live in, there are many different views and opinions. The Bible can even be interpreted inside these social bubbles in whatever way that satisfies. However, according to the creed, we believe in the Holy Christian Church, communion of saints. The kingdom of God is therefore comprised of many kinds of people who are united by the Holy Spirit, who endeavor on the way to heaven following the guidance of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost guides in discussions and decisions to consider, how would I act that I may remain believing and make it to heaven one day? The enemy of the souls wants to erase from our minds that the destination of our faith is heaven. He directs our attention to this life and to that which is pleasing for us. He may even whisper that there is no connection between life's decisions and losing your faith. However, even these small choices can gradually and unsuspectingly lead us further away from God's kingdom. And then the voice of the enemy turns into yelling, "No one else has fallen into those types of sins. You cannot be believing, and your sins cannot be forgiven." Dear listener, you who suffers from shame caused by your own faultiness and unworthiness, I wish to remind you that Jesus did not come to this earth for the self-righteous, but to help the sinful and the suffering. How could I take care of my faith? As children, our parents took us to services. Mom and Dad came to our room in the evening, and we read an evening prayer and blessed each other with the gospel. What happened then as we grew older? Many of you have been left waiting for Mom and Dad's approaching steps, hoping that they would come and offer the gospel for strength, and yet again we could together recite the familiar and safe evening prayer in a childlike manner, in the same way as it was recited in childhood. As youth and adults, we make our own choices. We choose whether we go to services or to go sit at a bonfire or go visiting during services. That other option might be a good choice, But perhaps you may begin to forget to attend services, or it will become laborsome, maybe even start to feel useless to go to services. It is, however, worthwhile to go to services because it is there where God cares for and strengthens our faith. We also sing in services. For me, the singing of songs and hymns of Zion is a faith healing and faith strengthening experience. Songs are prayer and communication with God. In song is strengthening the feeling that with this flock I wish to make journey and keep the gift of faith in my heart. The forgiveness of sins is present there, wherever God's word, affected by the Holy Spirit, is preached. While it is true that all sins can be believed forgiven in the words of the gospel, it may so happen that some matters are not cleansed from the conscience. It is a great gift if we can talk about the matter that is pressing the conscience with a trustworthy, believing friend. Then, with his proclamation of the gospel, we can yet again feel the peace of conscience. Before I conclude, returning to the introduction of this presentation, I encourage you, youth, to ask your parents, "Dad, what did you do when you were young?" Or, "Mom, what did you do when you were young?" And I encourage you, parents, to share and discuss your experiences courageously, openly, and truthfully. After all, we humans have not changed much, even though we sometimes imagine otherwise. You may also share moments which wounded your conscience, and especially that what helped heal those wounds. Bless each other with the gospel. You can even this evening remain safely believing, all your sins forgiven, in Jesus' name and blood. You do not need to worry about whether you have the strength to believe tomorrow or in the coming future. It is enough that you are believing in this moment. We have an Almighty God. He wants to carry us to our heavenly home and bestow his strength onto us every day. And so you can, even during this presentation, believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Be of good cheer. Be secure in making the journey towards heaven. At the end of this day, we will join together in the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord makes his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us, give us peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen.